Good morning, folks. It's time for Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show about the crucial political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Join us for a stimulating, thought-provoking discussion. You'll get the facts as we focus on the challenges facing everyone. Good morning, folks. Steve Williamson here. We're locked in a small room with lots of electric gadgets.
Mike Cosentino over here, and yeah, we're in the control room. Feels very powerful in here.
Yeah, we are now not in control.
We're in the control room. Except Steve Farley, are you there? Hola, Paco.
Steve Farley, are you there? I don't hear anything.
Yeah.
Now I'm on.
Now you're on. Well,
oh, we didn't mean to yell at you. We got excited. We get excited
well,
in the control.
Well, we've accomplished something this morning. That's great.
Let's go for breakfast. We're done. No.
We fixed Chasm's electronic problems just in seconds there. As I warned you, we're in the control room instead of the studio, so things are wired a little differently. Well, Steve Farley is the majority leader of the
State Senate.
State Senate.
I fill in words for him. It's what we do.
He's a long-term state senator, and
well, he's in almost 6 years now. 6 years in the House.
Okay. Can you hear my? Go ahead, Mike.
Been around a while, and you can start doing the Gettysburg Address or something. Steve Farley is with us this morning, and he had declared for governor, for Democratic governor of the state of Arizona, way back in December. So one of the things we want to talk about, Steve, is the strategy of declaring early. One of the things I'd like to talk about is what it's like to work in a crazy. We don't mince words on Democratic Perspective here. When the Arizona legislature is bats not crazy, which it is most of the time, but it's not getting funny anymore.
It's just not occasionally crazy. Right?
They're going no, they're always nuts. But they're going after now. And we want to talk about HB 2404 and HB 2424. Going after our ability to, get initiatives to get law. One of the cool things about Arizona was getting citizen involvement directly in getting things on the ballot and deciding as a community, as a state, what should be law and what shouldn't. Steve Farley, say hello, please.
I am glad to be here. I should correct you one thing, though.
Yes, please.
I haven't officially declared yet for governor, but I have been doing my exploration process, and it's heading in a direction I like.
We'll talk about your campaign for governor, but let's talk about...
Or thinking about the campaign.
Thinking about the campaign for governor, because, of course, you have a lot of support, I know, particularly in the Tucson. Steve Farley's from the Tucson area, and you were a state representative for quite a while before you became a state senator, right?
Right. But in addition to that, I'm actually... my real job is I'm a public artist and graphic designer. I've had my own small business... doing graphic design for the last 26 years, actually.
Wow.
So I'm coming from the private sector. And in public art, those of your listeners who may have been to Tucson any time in the last 20 years will probably know my biggest piece, which is a big 4,000-square-foot expansive tile murals just east of downtown Tucson on Broadway, where the road goes under the railroad tracks there. It's a whole bunch of people from the middle part of the 20th century walking down the street in downtown Tucson, full-body shots of people.
Yes, I've been there. I was at the U of A hospital last season, and I didn't realize that. I spent a lot of time down, all the time I could.
Yeah, I invented that way for putting photos in glazed ceramic tile, and I actually do that work all over the country and have for since 1997.
I got a couple of walls for you in cottonwood when you're ready.
I'd be happy to do it. If people want to see the art, actually, I would plug visuals into radio. My art website is pilography.com, pilography.
Well, and I want to encourage them to go to your exploration website, at least to the About Steve Farley website, because If politics is a fashion show and a popularity contest or a beauty contest is the word I'm looking for. You don't look like the dirty artist hippie that your life.
No, I dress in Republican drag often also.
Very good.
I actually speak pretty good Republican. When I was a kid growing up, I spent every summer, about a month every summer, on my cousin's farm in southern Utah, where I hauled hay by hand and learned how to speak really good Republican.
Could you speak Mormon?
I do too. Yes,
boy,
indeed.
That's very good. Very good.
I'm a multicultural politician.
I wanted to make sure we got Steve Farley on the line here. We're talking about the governor.
It does sound like he's on the line, Mike.
I understand, but I want to talk about some of his accomplishments. I mean, he's got a list of, you know, he's fun. He's on all these committees in the Arizona Legislature. Of course, he's a Democrat, doesn't have any power, but he does at least have some input, at least more than the rest of us. But he was he was on the 2016 the Arizona Republic's 16 Arizonans to watch list, and he's was a conservation hero, which would make certainly a lot of our listeners happy. He was the Arizona League of Conservation Voters, of which I am a member. He was their voted conservation hero. So that's, you know, that's got
this
to be.
This was not a terrorist watch list, right? It was an AZ Republic up and coming politician watch list, I think.
He has brought $63 million in federal money to create jobs in Tucson, the modern streetcar project, lots and lots and lots of things here. Certainly in Arizona, having any Democratic leadership, anybody that can. We're excited to hear about it. It's not that it doesn't go on all the time. It's not that there's not lots of fine Democrats down there that we even hear about up here. But your presence down there is wonderful, and the fact that you can that you are have developed or certainly a leadership role down there is great. And you want the number one leadership role. And we want to mention that it hasn't been that long since Arizona had a Democratic governor, Janet Napolitano, 2008, in 2009, before she went to work in Washington. Did you know Janet, Steve?
I knew Janet very, very well. In fact, a lot of Janet's key people are working on my campaign right now.
Excellent.
So I'm following a lot of her strategy because you don't want to mess with success.
So what are you doing on your campaign? I mean, you haven't officially declared, and that's a legal thing. It has to do with economics and forming campaign committees and so forth. You're exploring the possibility of running, and you're looking for support. How do you do that exactly?
Well, I've been going all over the state already, and I've been very happy to see that I'm already pretty well known in all over the state. In large part because when I first got sworn in January 2007, I made the decision that I would sit down every Tuesday night and write a 2,000 or 3,000 word email to my constituents that told them what I learned that week and what's going on and how they can get involved and entertaining stories about what's really happening at the legislature. And, you know, there's no shortage of those. And I called the Farley Report and I email it out to people on my list, and now there's over 12,000 people all over the state who receive that every week when I write it, and every month in the off session. And that means that people really know me. If your listeners want to get on that list, and you can also see pictures of me and other information about me and all the archives of the Farley Reports.
Right.
It's at friendsofarley.com, and you can just sign up your email address there, and you'll be on it also when I do my next one on Tuesday night.
There you go.
Friendsofarley.com. And you can also just Google Steve Farley, and you'll find the friendsofarley.com website.
All right. Thank you.
Let's talk about what's going on in the legislation in your latest Farley reports. And one of the things that you talk about, and there's a series of bills. I guess one has passed and one hasn't. And they're bills that reduce Arizonans' rights to use initiative petitions to change things. So there's a lot of angry Republican legislators who don't like some of the votes.
Don't like democracy is what they don't like.
People have taken. So tell us about, I guess there's HB 2244, but there's a bill before that that's passed. Tell us about how these things work. I think folks will be surprised at the clever but extreme way that their right to initiate and petition the government is being restricted by these bills.
Yeah, it's like there's some Sith lords behind there trying to come up with these evil plans to take away our rights to initiative and referendum. It's amazing when now that this plan has been completely revealed. A few years ago, there was a bill people might remember called HB 2305 that did a whole lot to be able to reduce our power of initiative and referendum. The legislature and the Arizona Chamber of Commerce don't really like much the idea that we as the people can legislate, which to me is an outrage that they would feel that way, because our rights to initiative and referendum are some of our most sacred constitutional rights here in Arizona. When we were first territory, we had an initiative and referendum in our Constitution.
Absolutely.
And then when we tried to become a state, William Howard Taft refused to let us become a state until we got rid of that. So we said, okay, we'll get rid of it. And as soon as he made us a state, the first thing we did was put it right back in.
As we should have.
As we should have, because the people are the sovereign body.
You know, if
we
they ran the on this...
We're governing when our legislature lets us down, and they've been letting us down so much lately.
If the Republicans ran on this idea, they wouldn't get elected. I mean, so you talk about the Republican bait and switch, the Republican deception. No wonder they feel so negative toward their own supporters. No wonder they're able to get their supporters to vote against their own self-interest. This just mystifies me even now.
Explain to us, when the bill says it's...
votes in every way, the suppression of our voice in every way, it's not an Arizona value. They just don't have the right priorities.
Correct.
When the bill says it's SB, that's a Senate bill initiated. When it says it's HB, for folks listening out there, we're always throwing around these things like HB 2244. It's initiated, started in the House. If it's SB, then it's the Senate. Tell us what's exactly in these bills. One's passed and one hasn't. And I think readers and listeners would be shocked by the kinds of provisions they're using to eliminate or reduce the possibility of initiatives.
Well, just as background, this 2305 a few years ago, that was referred to the ballot by a coalition of libertarians and Greens and Democrats all together, gathering enough signatures to force that bill onto the ballot, as is our right. When we did that successfully, the legislative majority decided to withdraw the bill, and they gutted it, so we didn't have the election. But then 2 years later, they came in with a bill, and the first level of this evil plan they had was a bill that would force any referendum petitions to be strictly compliant rather than substantially compliant with the law. What that means in effect is that if you gather petition signatures for a referendum, if there's one thing wrong with one signature line of the page, the entire page of signatures will be thrown out. Now, people make mistakes, and sometimes they forget their zip code, or they put in an address with one digit wrong, and the circulator is no longer able to correct that. And if it's put in wrong by one signer on these 10 sheets, it can't be counted. So that makes it much more expensive, more difficult to actually do one of these. But what was evil was that they created this for the referendum first. They said it was just referendum because it should be held to a higher standard, as their argument goes, because it's a legislative law that's referred. Now, this year, with 2424, they came back in, and now they're applying strict compliance to the initiative. And the referendum strict compliance is already in place. So a lot of people are talking about referring this bill to the ballot. But if we do that, we have to use strict compliance to do it. So this virtually makes it impossible for us to, A, refer this bill, and then, B, when we can't refer that bill, it'll make it virtually impossible to do the initiatives. I mean, we're humans. We don't do everything exactly the way it should be. But this actually says that if your margins are, say, 1/16th of an inch too narrow, then they'll throw out the whole page.
Yeah.
And if I leave off the word...
every attempt to stop our voice.
If I leave off the word drive for my address, then the whole page of signatures is invalidated, even though everybody else's is correct. And even though there's only one address that has my street name and the word drive, in other words, there is no avenue with the same name. So there can't be any...
They'll check the page.
Well, let's switch focus.
This is an attempt to totally gut our process of initiative and referendum so that we can't use it anymore, which is absolutely outrageous. And it's a consolidation of power that purely means that the folks who are in charge of the legislature and the governor and the Arizona Chamber of Commerce will be able to rule without us, the pesky interference from us people.
What are the chances of this bill? I know one of them has passed that restricted initiatives, and the other is in the works still?
Well, they've both passed. 2404 is the other one, and that's the one that says that you can no longer pay by the signature. You have to hire them on as an independent contractor with a long-term contract, or else you have to pay them as an employee. That's when you're hiring someone to gather signatures. In the statewide initiative or referendum campaign, you have to pay people because you can't just do a volunteer as given the number of signatures. So between the two of these, both of these bills passed. And as soon as they were passed, within hours, Governor Ducey signed them because he's not really interested in doing the bidding of the people of Arizona. He's simply doing the bidding of his wealthy friends at the Arizona Chamber of Commerce and their corporate interests. And that it's just purely proven by these things. So the only thing that can be done about this is a referendum process. But it's a referendum process is very, very difficult now that they passed the referendum strict compliance thing last year. That's their like clever little evil plan they developed. So I don't know there's much we can do about this with the exception of electing a different legislature in 2018 and a different governor and then rolling back these restrictions on people's votes. Because remember, this is also hot on the heels of their attempt to suppress votes by not allowing us to gather petitions from our neighbor or gather ballots from our neighbors. Well, it's now a felony if your elderly neighbor falls and breaks her hip and she's stuck at home and you offer to bring her early ballot to the polls. You can't do it. You can't even bring it to the mailbox for her. And that makes you a felon because of the bill they passed last time. They were doing everything they can to stop us from taking the majority, which we will take sooner or later. They're just trying to take away our vote, take away our right to initiative, take away our right to referendum, and it's pretty outrageous.
It is that. So replacing the governor and the legislature seems like a really good idea on all levels. We'd like to give you a chance to talk about education, which is the other place that I'm firmly convinced that the Arizona legislature and the governor are not doing the will of the people at all.
They're not only not doing the will of the people, they are dismantling the idea of public education in Arizona entirely. last Thursday, we, as a huge surprise, all of a sudden on the floor, we were confronted with a bill we thought we had killed that would expand the private school voucher system to all 1.1 million students currently in Arizona, which, in effect, and the aspects of this bill are just outrageous. It takes away $5,400 a year from your local district public school and gives it to parents without any means test. So if that money, let's say you have a wealthy family who have always intended to send their kids to private school. I mean, you know, private school tuition is between $15,000 and $20,000 these days in Arizona. $5,400 isn't going to pay you all the way. So the only people who can take advantage of these vouchers are people rich enough to be able to afford the extra $10,000 to $15,000 a year per kid to go to the private school.
All right.
And you don't even have to be in public school to take advantage of this. If you've always intended for your kid to get into go into private school kindergarten, and you can afford that tuition, you're still going to be taking $5,400 a year from your local public school to subsidize your ability to be in private school with your kid all the way. This is a way of dividing the haves from the have-nots in this state. And those kids whose parents can't afford the extra tuition and those kids who don't have parents, because we got 17,000 kids in the care of the state right now under this governor, Those folks are going to be stuck in a public school that will have less and less resources.
Well, that's
and we end up with a whole bunch of people who aren't going to be ready to take advantage of the economy here in the 21st century.
I'd say you take a state that woefully underfunds its education anyway. Just beyond my ability to understand. And then you damage it with this new. Apparently, they have this strike everything, and then stuck in the new bill. And that was why it was a surprise to everybody. Boom! All of a sudden, we're a fully or full voucher state.
Remember, they talk about this is about improving choice, but 94% of Arizona parents currently choose public schools for their kids.
Right.
Because it's important and because the teachers are amazing. My kid is a high school student at Tucson High, and I choose because the teachers are incredible. But I also see how badly we've underfunded our schools because 10% of their classrooms are closed because they're hazardous to inhabit because the legislature hasn't allocated the money to repair them. Their average age of their computers is 12 years old, and they only have a third of the computers they need to be able to test and do all the other things you need with computers.
Wow.
And there's only six counselors for 3,200 kids at the school.
Jeez.
So I see what's happening to our schools, but that doesn't mean I don't want to choose it because the teachers are amazing. And we have to reinvest for everybody. This entire American and Arizona economy, our success in the past has been built on the idea of a universal, excellent, free public education. And if we're going away from that, then we're creating a society in which there's a whole lot of people who won't be able to participate. And it's going to be a bad scene if we do that.
Well, just to repeat, that 94%, or certainly over 90%, of Arizona students go to public school, and we have just yet, one more time, cut the support and the funding for public schools. The legislature is making your choice for it. Remember, this was always called school choice. It's not school choice. They're making your choice for you. They're cutting the funds for public schools, and as you just said, the funds aren't enough to fund a private school. So it definitely favors those people that can afford the rest of the tuition, the extra $15,000 or $20,000 beyond the $5,400 that the state.
So it's a subsidy of to the wealthy in a way.
Right,
it
exactly.
Just gives them $5,400 that many of them may not even need.
So that's what.
But it also guts our public schools at the same time. That's the thing. This is a twofer that destroys us. It's taxpayer money being given away to people who don't need it. And it's coming from our schools that do need it. And remember, we've been cutting our K-12 system by 21% since 2008. And that includes Proposition 123. So Proposition 123, Governor Ducey said he's infusing money into education. That was only that only funds 70% of inflation. And it was a settlement of a lawsuit saying that the legislature had to pay that anyway. And it's only 70% of the settlement of the lawsuit, and it comes from money that was already going to our schools in the first place. And you might remember, just to look at how this whole scheme worked, Governor Ducey first came to power and came to public notice when he led the campaign to gut $1 billion a year from our public schools in Prop 204 when he tried to go against that. And he was successful. So he slashed $1 billion a year from our schools, then tried to appear as the hero when he was with Proposition 123 by taking money that was already going to schools in the future in the land trust and paying for just 70% of inflation. And now he's rushed to sign the bill to please his D.C. friends at the expense of AZ kids that guts the entire system by allowing vouchers for all. This is an utter disaster for education in this state under Governor Ducey, and that's something that has to change.
Yeah, right. Prominent Republicans are calling him the soul of the Republican Party since Donald Trump is obviously
Jeb Bush, Betsy DeVos.
Horse's ass.
They're the people who came on first thing and congratulated him for signing this disastrous bill that undercuts public education, which is what they want to do.
Yeah.
So Ducey, I think, talked about himself as the education governor, and you're saying basically
he's the end of education governor.
Yeah.
And we need to stop that now because the disaster is unfolding already.
All right, Steve, what are you going to do? What are you going to do for the state? You're going to get elected governor in 2018. And hopefully you'll have an Arizona Senate to that'll be Democratic. How many seats in the Senate are we short to have a Democratic Senate?
We only need two more seats to tie and three to win. We actually were within the stalking point of that last time because we had great candidates in great districts who were leading up until that certain FBI letter showed up in the middle of like 10 days before the election.
Right.
And then everything changed.
Right.
We were on our way to 15-15 Senate this past year. And I think we probably would have been our way not having that guy in the White House.
Yeah.
But now we're at where we're at, and I think we have a chance to be able to change this state in 2018 because that guy in the White House, as crazy as he is acting as a Democratic organizer-in-chief for our state. Because I have never seen this level of energy in my 11 years in the legislature. I've never seen this level of energy that's out there right now with Democratic clubs all over the state reporting double the turnout that they usually see at their monthly meetings. And people are energized to work and make this a year that's a turnaround year. And remember the last time we had a Democratic governor, Janet Napolitano, was when we had a Republican in the White House last time.
Yep.
And this guy is much worse than even W.
Yep.
So I see a major backlash this time against Republican policies, as it should be. And I think we're gonna get the governor's office and both the House and the Senate.
Now, you are going to have to appeal. You are going to have to appeal to some Republicans, which I think you will. And you're going
to. I already have people supporting my effort once I decide to get to governor who are on the Republican side, who feel like that he's not looking at their priorities. And there are a lot of Republicans.
Right.
They're like Republican moms and dads who have their kids in public school.
Right.
They're pretty angry with what's going on right here. Yep. He's not governing Arizona for Arizona. He's governing Arizona in order to burnish his credentials to be in D.C. someday.
All right.
We deserve better.
We certainly do. So tell us what Steve Farley is going to do as governor. Steve Farley, governor of Arizona, how's it going to be different?
Well, let me tell you, it's going to be education. Because this century, you've already seen the twin threats of globalization and automation start to really cut into the job factor here. Just look at driving. The governor's welcomed a whole bunch of those self-driving Ubers into town. And, yeah, they could be interesting in the future. Maybe they'll save some lives on the roadway. But the number one job description in this country for American men is driver. So we could see, and depending on the figures you look at, it looks like 18% of American men jobs is something to do with driver. And if you end up with these vehicles not needing drivers anymore, all of a sudden, you've got a whole lot of people unemployed.
Right.
Unless you do something to transform our entire education system into a lifelong learning system.
Right.
And that means instead of gutting our K-12 schools, you infuse them with the money it takes to be able to be the foundation for that lifelong learning. So when an industry disappears, that we can retrain people to be able to get that new industry. And then we have our universities to create the new industries. Instead of cutting $2.5 billion from our universities, $2.5 billion we've cut since 2008 from the legislative majority and the governor, we would put money in there to be able to create the new experiments and the new industries that will be coming out of those experiments and the people being able to invent new stuff. And then we need to get our community colleges invested as well. You know, this legislature no longer pays any state support for community colleges in Pima County, Maricopa County. We need to have our community colleges completely transformed to be that lifelong retraining entity that we're going to need for everybody to be able to thrive.
I think it's 1 or 2%.
And all this stuff we can do without raising taxes. That's the thing people don't get. This stuff will cost billions of dollars, but we already give away $4 billion a year in tax credits and tax breaks to corporations.
You have a bill in
1996, $4 billion a year out of a $9.5 billion budget. We've given away $4 billion a year.
Wow.
You have
our sales tax loopholes, we give away $12 billion a year in 331 special interest tax breaks. And I'll let you break in here because I'm spoken for a while on this gag.
No, it's just you have a bill in the state Senate 1144, which would require a review of 331 corporate exemptions, tax exemptions. How would the review help? At least we'd know what's going on, because right now these exemptions, these lack of taxing, has been going on for, well, I don't know, decades, and it's built up and gotten kind of, I don't think anybody tracks it correctly.
No, and because we don't know exactly how much we're giving away. This is just the sales tax code we're talking about here. There's at least $12 billion a year we are losing, and our entire state budget is $9.5 billion. So that's the enormity of this. What happens, let me give you an example. We got if you buy a 3-inch pipe, you pay sales tax. If you buy a 4-inch pipe, you don't pay sales tax. And when you don't pay, and why wouldn't you pay sales tax on a 4-inch pipe? Because there's a certain company that uses a lot of 4-inch pipes that went down to the legislature in the 1970s with a corporate lobbyist and said that they want to get a break on the pipes they use. And they made that case and they got it done. That corporation is a Nevada corporation called Southwest Gas.
Wow.
Now, they can afford to hire the lobbyist to go down there and get the break. But the guy that has a carpet installation business, say, has to get a truck to deliver his product to customers. Well, he pays sales tax on that truck. So just because you can afford a corporate lobbyist doesn't mean you get a break. It's not fair to the little guy who is trying to get by and all of a sudden has an unfair playing field.
Sounds good, Steve.
The folks who are connected and have the money get even more money because they can afford to get themselves a break.
We're talking to Steve Farley, Democratic candidate for U.S. for Arizona governor. We also want to mention a wonderful, wonderful place here in Sedona that helps us out here on Democratic perspective. El Portal, Steve Segner's wonderful little boutique hotel over on 179 is they've been helping us out here on Democratic perspective, and it's a wonderful place to stay and a great place to have breakfast. We want to say a big fat Sedona howdy to Democrats of the Red Rocks, who also help keep Democratic perspective on the air.
And they're having another, I guess, Democratic candidate for governor.
Oh, yeah, David Garcia.
On the 20th, on Thursday the 20th, it's at the Old Sedona Bar and Grill. You get there about 8 o'clock. It officially starts at 8:30, but get there a little earlier is my advice. And you'll hear David Garcia, who ran for superintendent of public education.
Yeah.
And I guess he's going to compete with you, Steve, if you run.
And you can meet me because I'll be there that morning, and he'll be on our April 24th show. But so right now we are talking to one excellent candidate for governor, Democratic governor, Democratic candidate, Steve Farley. And let's talk a little more about the exploration campaign, Steve. Now, that's, you know, Democrats are the lowest registration in the state. You got independents and you got Republicans. We already talked a little bit about your appeal. Elections are all about numbers. You're from a great area. Well, we like to talk reality here on Democratic perspective, or at least behind the scenes. We had Doug Ballard on last week, as the Democratic National Committee chairman, so we were able to talk, you know, serious political stuff. So let's talk somewhat serious political stuff here about Steve Farley, and what do you got to win? Where's your strength? Where's your weaknesses?
Well, I think the strength is that I'm pretty well known all over the state.
Yeah,
having served for the last 11 years in the legislature. I've been on the media a lot in the Phoenix market, which gets all over the state, northern and central. People know me obviously very well in Tucson, where I'm from, and Pima County has been the key to Jan Napolitano winning, doing so strong in Pima County. And folks know me really well down here, not just from the legislature, but from my artwork down here. and my other community service I've done. The fact that I was the guy who came up with the idea in the first place and then pushed in so many different ways before I was ever an elected official to get the modern streetcar put in place in downtown Tucson.
Mm-hmm.
That has been a phenomenal economic and revitalizing success, where downtown Tucson used to be a complete dead zone for decades. They've tried a lot of things to try to bring it back, but nothing happened until the streetcar got into place. Now it is a 24/7 activity, all different sorts of people down there all the time. Restaurants, clubs, retail activities, new residential, new hotels going up, cranes in the air everywhere. There are billions of dollars in private investment that have now been put into downtown Tucson.
I want to back that up. I was down there last month. There were places opening up at 11 o'clock at night. I mean, they were looking for that that nighttime crowd. It was pretty exciting.
Yeah, so I'm not just sort of a politician saying what I'm going to do. I'm a guy who is always, before I was ever in political office, who was doing things to make things happen, just as community service and activism. And I think that's the sort of thing that people are really looking for here. And folks really know me all over because I've been a huge advocate for transportation investment of all kinds. I have a lot of support from a lot of people, Republican and Democrat alike, as well as my advocacy for public education. My parents are both public school teachers.
Wow.
My kids both went to Arizona public schools. And I think that record and that passion and my 11-year record in the legislature of fighting every attempt to gut our public schools and being able to have some success in saving our public schools in certain ways. When I was key in being able to restore Medicaid, when we were able to work with Jan Brewer across the aisle.
One of the few good things that she actually did was restore that.
In poverty. I can work across the aisle with a whole bunch of people, too.
What, when are you coming north?
I know how to be effective.
When are you coming north? When are you going to come to Flagstaff?
I'm coming north all the time.
All right.
As soon as this session is over, I'm on a nonstop road trip.
Ah.
I've already been to Sedona and met with a bunch of key people.
Great.
Up there. I went there very early because I think the Verde Valley is a very important place for Democrats to be able to talk with folks. And I've found a lot of people knew me already. And people who didn't, they got to know me a little bit better. I'm going to be up in Flag in the Verde Valley next, I think May 7th. I'm going up for another trip up there, meeting with Flagstaff Mayor Coral Evans. When I'm up there, I'll be meeting with Doug Ballard as well. And that session may not even be over by then, but I'm already planning to be up there. I think Verde Valley, Flagstaff, the Rim are really important areas in this state that I want to be able to be at all the time.
People are always talking.
This is an amazing state to campaign in. I'm so
lucky.
I'll bet. Wow, what a great place to do a nonstop road trip.
I've been talking to candidates for a lot of years, and I don't envy you guys. Let's talk about the reservation for we got 8 or 9 minutes left. But let's people are always talking about the res. What's Steve Farley's plan for the res?
Well, I think it's key. And the neat thing is, before I was ever thinking about running for governor, I've been working up there for Democratic candidates a lot. I was all out for Jameis DePeschlikai for Senate last time.
Uh-huh.
The last Senate cycle actually led the effort to be able to get Democrats elected statewide. And so I was all over. I was helping Nikki Bagley with her campaign.
Great. I love Nikki.
And Flagstaff for. And then I was up in the nation working for Jameis DePeschlikai. I met her late father, James Peschlikai. I was very fortunate to have spent some good quality time with him. What an amazing man. And I have really good relationships with a whole lot of different people in the Navajo Nation, and I think that's going to be key to a lot of success. The neat thing is, having been doing this like I have for a long time, I've gotten a lot of friends over time. I don't have to make a lot of new friends real quick. I already have old friends in lots of different places, including in the nation.
That's great. Do you know if there's any tribal elections planned for the same time as the general?
I haven't looked at that schedule yet,
uh-huh.
And I'm not sure they've scheduled them at this
right.
point, but that can be key.
Yeah.
And I understand where you're going, and we'll definitely be looking at that to make that happen.
Tell us a little bit, Steve, before we run out of time, about this last legislative session, what you've been doing to stop. We've talked about some crazy bills to reduce initiative. But there's been a lot of other strange stuff introduced to the Arizona legislature. I get from you that there really is no solution except to elect Democrats to at least a parity, if not a majority. But what do you do day in and day out to try to keep the crazy down?
Well, you know, one of the things I like to do in the legislature is to stop crazy stuff before it starts. And for all the things you do see that come out and get publicized, there's even more bills that don't ever see the light of day. In large part because my philosophy has always been, I may disagree with a lot of these people, like really disagree with them, right. But I know I can find at least one or two things I have in common with them. And I that way I've been able to develop really good relationships with every one of the legislators, no matter how to the outside world it may look like they're impossible to talk with, which means I've been able to actually even run bills. That Senate Bill 1144 I was telling you about, the tax loopholes,
yep.
I got the very conservative chair of the Senate Finance Committee, David Farnsworth, to be my co-sponsor because I'm really close with him on a lot of issues, mostly like really focusing on very small businesses and sole proprietors who sometimes get lost when Governor Ducey just wants to aim at the big corporate out-of-state business to give money away to.
Well, that's what people want to see. They want to see cooperation.
Find ways of, and when you talk with these folks, you are able to shut down some of the crazy stuff before they start just having a conversation with some of the people in power.
That's a great strategy. At least it sounds good to us because, as I just said, that we get the impression from talking to lots of folks that people want to see, regardless of who's right, who's wrong, Democrat, Republican, and you know, of course, we here know Democrats are, like I say, for the people. They have great ideas. They have health care, education, jobs. These are the things people care about, and Democrats have them. The other side is a bat crap crazy as far as most of us are concerned.
In order to get our ideas through, you got to work with people.
That's right. That's right.
And that's where I've got experience.
It doesn't help your job.
Our budget process is going to go more smoothly when I'm governor.
It doesn't help your job, me having me call them bat crap crazy. So, but that's great.
They call me that too.
I will continue to do that. You will continue to find ways to work with them and get some things done, and that's a wonderful thing, and it's a really tough job that you're doing, and one of the reasons we hope for a Democratic governor, because we've had some great, as you already alluded to, we've had some great Democratic candidates in the last 5-10 years, Felicia Rollini, all sorts of great candidates that just because of the numbers. I just haven't been able to get elected. We talked a little bit about some numbers. You talked about you coming north, and you've already come a little bit and done some work in Sedona, going to do some work in Flagstaff. Certainly a couple of, at least the perception is those are Democratic strongholds. We're talking about reaching across the aisle. We're talking about your appeal to Republicans. We're talking about your appeal to libertarians and independents, the numbers, as we follow them, the Democratic numbers are growing now, as far as registrations I'm talking about, but Republicans still lead. So it isn't a party thing, it's an individual thing, and we think Steve Farley, and that's one of the reasons we were really anxious to have him on Democratic Perspective. We think Steve Farley, Democratic candidate for governor, is an antidote. I can make comparisons. There's a legislator that went on to Washington that wrote a book called Unite and Conquer, and that willingness and that ability to work across the aisle to get things done, to compromise, to have some ideas. Listen, we want to remind you that this podcast and all our shows will be on vvid.org. Democratic Perspective has a whole archive of shows, of radio shows, 45-minute shows on vvid.org. This show will be up there in a day or two, and you can listen to it again. And next time you're talking to Steve Farley, You can talk intelligently. You'll have some background information. We also want to encourage you to go to the website. Steve, what is it?
It's friendsofarley.com.
Friendsofarley.com is a way you can find out more.
Or you can just Google Steve Farley, and you'll see all sorts of info.
All right, Steve. We've got
to read all the news articles.
There you go. We look forward to it. Take care, man. Look, I wish you luck.
You've been listening to Democratic Perspective, brought to you by the Verde Valley Independent Democrats, a weekly talk show focusing on the political issues facing the Verde Valley, Sedona, Northern Arizona, and the nation at large. Catch us every Monday morning after the 8 o'clock news, right here on AM 780 KAZM. It's beautiful out there, folks. Have a great day.